Hi, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would like to do a commentary on day 85. I'll read the verse again. It's from Luke chapter 6, verses 35-36. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. When I was thinking of this meeting today, I thought about a verse in 1 John chapter 4, verses 19. And the verse says, we love because he first loved us. And that was a biggie for me, to understand that I cannot love in the right way without the love of the Lord in me. Either I will start erring where I'm the loser and they're the winner, or they're the, you know, or I'm the winner and they're the loser. And I used to do that a lot in the before I came to know the Lord. I would think I would be loving someone, and in the meantime I would be like a piece of dirt, you know, or vice versa, you know, thinking that, you know, well, I gotta love myself, and I gotta do this, and I gotta do this, and I gotta do that, and then meanwhile, you know, I would be smushing them in the dirt. And so in order to really love another person, I have to know the love of God. And that for me came about when, as it says, I realized that he first loved me. And that came when I turned over my will and my life over to the care of Jesus Christ, when he became my Savior and my Lord. And I have spoken on this meeting how I was in rooms of recovery, which I'm grateful for, because I know that the Lord brought me there and he got my attention. It was a lot like people who are, you know, in the Bible, how they came to Jesus. They had no idea that he was the Messiah. You know, all they knew about him is that, you know, he could heal them. And they were looking for physical healing. That was about all they wanted. They wanted to be able to walk and be able to see and talk, or, you know, be able to stand up straight. Whatever it was that they needed, they knew that this man could bring about that healing. But they had no idea who he was. They didn't know he was God in the flesh. You know, they didn't know that he was the promised Messiah. They had none of those things in their knowledge. And when I came to recovery, and I honestly believe right now for me that true recovery has the backing of the Lord. The Lord is behind true recovery. Not recovery if it is pointing to a person or even to a group, but that which points to the Lord, you know, that goes back to the understanding that, you know, there is no good thing, no true good thing outside of the living Lord. True recovery has his backing. You know, he's back there doing it. And he did it for me. You know, and he changed me. He gave me physical recovery. And then, like I said, after about 4 years of physical recovery, I was beginning to understand it was an emptiness in me, that even though I was having a lot of things physically happening that I had dreamed about, you know, that my body got to a normal size, the big one was to be able to maintain that normal size. It was like, whoa, it was all, you know, it was literally walking on water, you know, to be able to take the skills that I had learned regarding my physical abstinence and applying it in other areas of my life, and to see changes in that way too. But then I started having that anxious apartness, regardless of how many, I had written lots of inventories, given them away, made amends, did all of the things, but without the Lord Jesus, I could not go any further than where I was going. And what the Lord did for me is that when I accepted him, when I admitted with my mouth that I was still powerless, even though I was not overeating, I was still powerless and that I needed him. And once I made that admission that I could not reach holy God on my own power, that I need an intercessor, and that intercessor is Jesus Christ. And when I admitted that and accepted him for the gift that he is, then I was given another gift. I was given more than another gift. I was made a true child of the King, and I was also given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's that Holy Spirit that gives me the power to love the unlovable. That last paragraph in the reading really sums it up for me. Without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to love the unlovable. It is utterly impossible. The Holy Spirit provides the power for me to love supernaturally. It just does that. And because Jesus loves me, when I remember how much Jesus loves me, I'm capable of loving in a way that defies my flesh, and it really is a miracle. It's a miracle, and to see it in action is just an amazing thing, because to see myself able to do that, you know, where my flesh immediately, because my flesh still gets its little backup, you know, if somebody would do something, and you've heard me share a lot on the email loop sometimes. I think my biggest challenge a lot of times is when I'm in the grocery store, and I'm in, you know, have my little schedule in mind, and I'm trying to get through and get whatever, and something boing, something happens, and I can feel my flesh is starting to rise, and I'll start, you know, wanting to say something, and I know better to say something, but boy, I can start thinking and tearing people up in my minds, and both, you know, even whether I say it or think it or whatever, it still destroys the good that the Lord is building. You know, I don't want to be a destructive force. And so I have to pray, and I have to remember, you know, what he did for me. And once I remember what he did for me, then I'm able to rise above my feelings and do the loving act, do the next loving thing in my mind. And that is amazing to me, that the Lord does that in me again and again and again. In that verse in Luke, it says, love your enemies. And time again, I have to come back to the truth that people are not my problem. People are not my problem, but evil is. There's a verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12-13, and it says, your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, and powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so, again, it is that it's not the people. When they're doing things that are off, you know, when I see people who are doing things that are off and it really bothers me, I have to remember that God is calling me to love them, because that will make the change in them. The change is not going to become, you know, even though fear and anger can be motivators at times, it doesn't hold a candle to the love of God. The love of God is a powerful motivator. So if I think I'm going to go in there with hatefulness and make a real change in the life of a person, whether that person is the checker in the store or whether one of my own children, you know, I'm going to sit there and bark at them, you know, trying to make them change, I'm in the wrong place, you know. That truly, I have to go back to the fact that God loved me when I was still a mess. It says that in Romans 5:8, you know, while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. He died for me even when I didn't know him by name. And so when I feel disturbed by the behavior of another, it helps me, number one, to think back to when I did the same or similar thing. You know, that is really It really brings me to my knees when I can do that and when I can remember to do that. When someone is really, I'm finding myself really taking their inventory, I'm being hateful in my thinking about them, I'm complaining about them in my mind or with another person, it stops me in my tracks to think back when I did the same thing that they're doing. And when I have trouble thinking it, I know that I have to cry out to the Lord for conviction to help me remember. Because usually when I am observing some kind of misbehavior in another person, it's usually something that I have just recently gotten over and my pride is stepping up to the plate. It's like, oh, well, I don't do that anymore. Well, why can't she get it together? What is she doing? And blah, blah, blah. It's because, again, my flesh is trying to take control. And so when I think back when I did the same thing, it convicts my heart and it helps my lips, it closes that mouth and it stops that thinking that has me thinking that I'm better than someone else because I'm not. And then it helps me to remember distinctly how God brought people who helped me into my life. Again, it's easy for me to think that I am a self-made person, but please, number one, I didn't think of this food plan that I even have, that people have given to me and showed me how to do. I didn't think about bringing people together. I wasn't the first one that thought about, having people come together and share with one another and help one another. I didn't do that. I have to remember that God brought people in my life, people who inspire me, people who encourage me. They're the people, who pray for me. And who do I think I am, that I'm a self-made person? I don't think so. Either I'm forgetting something or whatever, or I'm lying to myself. And so I have to remember distinctly how God brought people who helped me. And then I have to start seeing that person through God's eyes. God really, He does not want anyone to perish. And if that person is already a believer, He wants them to be back in fellowship with them, with Him. And so, if they are acting out, then they're out of fellowship with Him, just like I can do that and have done that. And so they don't need, me pointing the finger. They need me on my knees praying on their behalf, and to see, what a blessing they are and what they have been in the past and what they can be in the future, once God starts working in that life again. And I also had to do a lot of prayer a lot of times to ask the Lord to help me stop competing with people. That whole competition mind that I can get in, that mindset that thinks that people are a threat to me. That I have to have some unique gift, that it's going to blow, I think it's all in my mind that I'm going to blow somebody out of the war, whatever. Granted, the Lord definitely used me in different ways than He does in other people. But I like that verse, and there's a whole passage in Corinthians. It's in 1 Corinthians 12. It's actually before that chapter on love, because that chapter on love is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it actually starts with verse 12, and it talks about the body being a unit, but it's made up of many parts, and all the parts form one body. And it reminds me that so it is with Christ, that we are baptized in one spirit into one body, whether we're Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, we're given one spirit to drink. And so who am I to say, because, I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. That's what it says in verse 15. And then it also says, who am I, in verse 21, that says that I don't need you. So who am I to look at the person that God created? Because every human being God created, He created them. And so who am I to get my nose out of joint and to get my nose up in the air and to think that someone is hopeless, you know, that they cannot change, you know? And so it says in that verse, do good to them, lend to them without expecting anything. You know, the being good to them starts with my prayers, because if I try to be good without the prayers, again, it's that forgetting that I love because God first loved me. I try to do it in my own flesh, and I end up, you know, doing some kind of dumping again, or thinking that I'm helping them and I'm hurting myself and whatever. So it does always start with a prayer for me. And then, you know, I find other things that help me, you know, to think of things that I want for myself and to pray that for other people, you know, and to ask the Lord to help me to find random acts of kindness that I can do for another person. And he does, you know, he does help me. His guidance gives me that direction that I need. Also, you know, when it says lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And so, in fact, I get out of the business of loaning a lot of times. You know, I just pray that whatever it is, that the Lord will help me to give it to them. And if I can't give it to them, then it means that I need to step back and ask the Lord, how can he use me in other directions? Because when I am able to let it go, then I'm not into the fear that, you know, they're going to break it, or, you know, I'm not going to ever get it back, or blah, 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 blah. But the prayer gets me to that point. It says that your reward would be great and be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. I still have problems with gratitude. It's so easy for me to still give God my grocery list and forget about the many blessings that he has already done for me. And yet, I make the greatest strides in my recovery when I remember to keep that attitude of gratitude. And I'm grateful that I am not wicked anymore, though. My wickedness was when I did not know Jesus, when I did not belong to him. It doesn't mean that I don't do wicked stuff, okay? I'm saying that I am not a wicked person, because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus and that his spirit lives in me. I'm grateful that his spirit lives in me. Just like it says in the reading, God can change your life. Please, I know he can change your life, because he changed me. And I pray that I never forget this. I cannot afford to forget this. In fact, when I get bitter and angry and whatever, and start talking about them and me, then I realize that my thinking is off, and I need to ask the Lord to change my thinking and remind me how he took me out of the miry clay, you know, out of the mud and mire, and set my feet on a rock, as it says in Psalms 42:3, you know, that he was the one that did that. And in the only way, like it says in that second paragraph, to take their hatefulness and turn it around, it's to remember that God's love is greater than their hate. And so I'm called to focus on the love of God, because it's the power. It's powerful to focus in that way. But I don't go out without the Lord and the knowledge that the Lord is there helping me to do that. And I'm just, again, very grateful for these meetings. I'm grateful, again, for a place where I can speak truthfully about my recovery, and that my recovery is based on the blood of the Lord Jesus and his spirit that he has placed in me. And I'm going to ask our shepherd, Stephanie, if she can give us a commentary on this reading. But Stephanie?